Isaiah, the third chapter. And we'll read a lot of scripture this morning. But Isaiah, the third chapter, and I want to read, well, let's see how far. Let's just start reading. All right. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in mine house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin is Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor's in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet, therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. Our Father, in Jesus' name this morning, help us to understand the seriousness of the hour in which we are in our nation. Help us to understand the plight of the people. Help us to understand, Lord, the condition of our own hearts and our churches in your sight. Lord Jesus, stir us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I believe America is under divine judgment of God. When we open the Word of God, we need to understand several things. There is no way to understand what's happened morally in our nation unless you understand Romans, the first chapter. When you read Romans, the first chapter, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. There's no excuse for a man being an atheist, an agnostic, an evolutionist. And what did they do? The scripture said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we're a nation of first-class fools. We've got too smart for God. And as a result, goes on down and talks about what they made an exchange. And in a little word you need to get a hold of, wherefore God also gave them up. And the rest of the chapter, this horrible, terrible degradation of homosexuality, God also gave them up. Mankind turned his back on God. God turned his back on man. Now, you'll understand that the moral problem in the first chapter of Romans. You talk about the theological problem, the apostasy in the epistles. Now, politically, in the book of Isaiah, the third chapter, and the second, third, and fourth chapter, we understand what's transpired in our country. I never would have believed. I'm an American. I love my country. I've wept over my country. I put my life on the line for my country. I'd do so again. I was in Hammond, Indiana, back in the 60s, and on the way home, God gave me this message. I've never changed it. Passage in Isaiah came, and I read that, and ever since then, I've preached this message of the vanishing American, or America under judgment. Now, the first chapter, let's look at the first chapter just a little bit, and then we'll spend the rest of our time in the third chapter, and the fifth and the sixth. In the first chapter, God, look how the book begins, a vision of Isaiah. Verse 2, God calls heaven and earth to witness. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. They've rebelled against me. Here, the whole universe, God calls to bear witness what Israel did in respect to Jehovah God. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Our nation denying the very founding of this country. Verse 4, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they've forsaken the Lord, they've provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they're gone away backward. Now let me just name the solemn charge in chapter 1, just name the sins in the verse and not read it. Ingratitude in verse 2 of chapter 1, ignorance in verse 3, iniquity in verse 4, illness in verse 5, invasion in verse 7, insincerity in verse 11, injustice in verse 21, inflation in verse 22, irresponsibility in verse 23. All these charges are prevalent in America. Israel sought to buy the favor of the nations by using sacred vessels of the temple as gifts to pagan nations. They went into the temple, took the gold, and tried to buy favor of the pagans. America did the same identical thing and sacrificed the sacred for it. We removed Jesus Christ's name from the United Nations. We removed his word from the public schools. We removed his creative work from the science lab. We removed his cross from the ecumenical movement. We removed his birth from the UNICEF Christmas card. We removed his authority from the home. We removed his day from the week and it's a holiday. We removed his pattern from marriage. We removed his justice from government. Removed his discipline from the parents. And so we've done a lot of swapping. We don't offend anybody. Anybody defend that's liberal and unbelieving, we dare not. We'll bow, we'll give anything in the world, sacrifice anything in our nation rather than offend that crowd. Now, that's my introduction. The third chapter. Now, turn there quickly. Judgment pronounced in verse 1. God said, now I'll remove the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. God said, now I'll judge you. If you don't repent, I'll judge you. I'll remove from your presence your food and your leadership. Now, he expressly deals with their leadership in verse 2. The mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 24. This is a very appropriate and personal and present message, and we preachers need to hear this message. We need to heed it. We need to understand where we are. 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 11 talks about Nebuchadnezzar besieging Jerusalem. Verse 14, and he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, none remaining save the poor sword of the people of the land. Verse 16, and all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen, and smiths 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive into Babylon. Now, judgment executed. God has judged America. He's not going to. He already has. God judged Israel. He took their leadership in the captivity and left folks that didn't know anything about government, didn't know anything about war, didn't know anything in the world to run the country, and devastation was the result. Now, the ills in America can be traced to the disappearance since World War II of the old-fashioned, blood-and-guts he-man that loved God, loved his country, and loved his family. God removed our leadership. The removal is very evident. Let me ask you some questions. Let's call the roll back at Isaiah, the third chapter. Turn there quickly. The mighty man. Where is the military, the mighty man of war? Where's Vinegar Stillwell? Where's Patton? Where's Douglas MacArthur? Where's a general? And any general who cries out and does this, he gets removed from society. Where in the world is a mighty man of war anywhere in society today where he's visible? I stood in Luxembourg, and I saw all those crosses. I stood at General Patton's tomb, and I read all the plaques in the various battlefields in Europe, and I stood there, and they were talking about this war to bring peace and to end war, and I wept, and I said, my, God gave us victory, and another generation that was not interested in preserving the peace were interested in dialogue. We don't want to fight, we want to talk, and we've lost more by talking than we ever did by fighting, and we'd have a whole lot more peace if we'd have fought instead of talked. And I stood there, and here's where Martin Luther stood, and he named his thesis there. And what happened? They gave the victory of the Reformation away also. We gave our military away. And then, hey, I stood and I looked across the barbed wire over into East Germany and saw the signs that keep out, and I said, we gave that away. We stood and allowed Russia to move into Berlin. We gave it to them. And every victory that we won in World War II, the next generation said, we don't want to fight, and turned around and gave it all away. That's sad. That's sad. And where is a mighty man of war? Where are those of Iwo Jima and the Battle of the Budge and Bataan and Corregidor, the Marines, the Air Corps, the Navy Pride? Where are those? Where is a man of state? Look at the next one, the mighty man and a man of war and the men of state. First of all, the judge. Where is a judge that a criminal knows when I stand before him, he'll tremble? No, sir. The judge is a criminal's friend, the best friend that he has in many instances in America today. Read him his rights. Hey, we used to read the rights to the citizen that had been offended, and it said, but we no longer do that. Where is a mighty man, the judge, that, listen, puts fear into the heart of the criminal? I'm of my generation, and I love my generation. I love my country. And the men of state, none qualified as statesmen, the constitutional government is no more. That's sad. Where is a prudent, the ancient? Where are the Patrick Kennedys? Where are the framers of the Constitution, God-fearing men? Where are Benjamin Franklin? All this stuff, I have to leave it alone. But when he talked about separation of church and state, our forefathers, hey, you'd interpret this separation of church and state by what our forefathers did. By call prayer to frame the Constitution. There was a Bible issued by the Congress of the United States. The Midwest Ordinance proclaimed and demanded that, listen, religion be taught in the schools, and hey, every study involves some moral teaching in good old-fashioned America. And people who stand talking about separation of church and state are first-class hypocrites. Their denial of history, and they're not honest, and they're dishonest. Where's a prudent, the ancient? Where's a Teddy Roosevelt? Where's a prophet, an international figure? Hey, and where's a prophet, listen, that brings a repentance? And where is a prophet that closes the saloons and sins retreated, and the dance halls are emptied, and the jails are emptied? Where's Billy Sunday and Moody and Mordecai Ham and Charles Gladstone Finney? We talk about man revival. We're not experiencing revival. We're in degradation and apostasy. There's not a verse in the Bible that talks about end-time revival except it's connected with Israel. Now, God and sovereignty is in revival anytime, but there's no promise. Where's the prophet? Where's the honorable man? You hear anybody talk about honor, duty, country? You hear about dirtiness? You hear about suggestiveness? Oh, where is it? It's no longer duty, honor, country. It's my right. Listen, I hate this word called rights. You say you oppose the rights? No, sir. It's wrecked our country. We used to talk about rights and responsibility, and God doesn't give anybody rights without responsibility. And if you're not old enough to take care of responsibility, you don't have a right. It's retarnation. We used to be Americans concerned about our country. We're no longer concerned about our country. We're concerned about number one. A country used to be larger than the individual. A man, a soldier, was taken captive. He didn't expect the country to listen to, the compromise, the sacrifice, the jeopardy of the country for the soldier. He expected to be offered on sacrifice. And now a soldier say, forget the country, you get me out. That's selfishness. Where is the honorable man? They're politicians nowadays. Where's the counselor? Why we need somebody to go to Washington and give some counsel, political counsel? Problems need divine counsel. And hey, our judicial, our military, our legislative, our educational, the whole business has been captured by humanism. Everywhere it's captured, and the plan for world conquest. God, give us some counselors that can give sane counselors to people in Washington. And then let's go to the eloquent orator. Governor Lester Maddox has come closest to... I'm telling you, the brother was an orator. A president used to be stand before the microphone, and he preached, and we were all Americans. We were Americans. And now we're everything in the world. Where in the world is an orator Churchill? Churchill. Roosevelt didn't particularly care, but he was listening. Roosevelt, and where were they? Listen, they can unite us and make us all Americans again. Well, there's nothing wrong being American. There's nothing wrong with being an American. Where's the cunning artificer? That's the craftsman that can stop the foreign trade and put America to work. Man, this is up to date. God said, now what? If you don't repent, I'll take your leadership away. Where are they? Don't tell me, where are they? Now, that's bad, but it gets worse. Here's a divine exchange. Look at verse 4. And I'll give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. God said, I'll give you the inexperienced and children playing government. In the United States today, we've got a lot of folks that listen, playing government. And children do not know how to deal with the problems of state. And we'll deal with the rest of the chapter as a result of God's judgment of removing the leadership. And listen, saying, I'll give you children and babes to rule over you. And we have children and babes ruling over us, making the most ridiculous and asinine decisions you've ever heard in all your life. Now, look at the results of the judgment. First of all, let's deal externally, and then I'll come to these. International disdain. We used to be respected of the nations of the world. Israel was respected of the nations of the world, but one day Israel said, make us like the nations. 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and read of the heavy taxation that came and broke the back. Your king will take. Read it, 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. Make us like the nations, and our country, make us like the nations. Make us like Russia. Roll socialism. United States no longer feared the Berlin crisis, the Pueblo instance, Korea, Vietnam, Cuba, SALT II, Iran, Nicaragua, Panama Canal, El Salvador, Honduras, Korean Flight 007, and on, and on, and on, and on. People used to be afraid of America. Now, internally, look at the verses. And I'll give children be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed. That's everyone by another. That's anarchy. Children cannot control crime. Children cannot control crime. Robbery, rape, rioting, murder, incest, and I never thought I'd have bars on my windows at my house. I'll guarantee you, in a generation that I grew up, there's a generation could handle crime. You handle crime severely. You handle it severely. And the homes, the church is oppressed. The Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and verse 2 says this, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. There's no rejoicing in America. Mourning. I went to Hammond years ago, and I wanted to go early. Took my wife with me and got in the Holiday Inn. It's after midnight on Saturday night. Opened the door of the elevator up on third, fourth, fifth floor. And there were guys all over the place walking up and down the halls in their shorts. I said, what in the world? We got to our room and my, the beating and the hollering and the banging on doors. Knocked down, I think, 11 or 12 doors that night. And I called downstairs and I protested. So didn't somebody tell you a basketball team is spending the night here tonight? But wait just a minute, sir. I'm spending the night here tonight. And what was it? Brother, that basketball team did anything. They tore 11, 12 doors down. They kept all of that. Why? Because there wasn't a man downstairs. Now, you may not like this, but hey, there, if a man had been downstairs, it had tossed that basketball team out in the streets. Oh, you said, that's unbecoming a Christian. No, it's not. It's unbecoming a coward. I raised 5 children. My daddy had 5 boys and 4 girls. And hey, my dad was always able to deal with rioting. And I dealt with severely. You don't disrupt this household. If you do, I'm coming after you. And hey, brother, we need to go after those who disrupt society a long time ago. Yeah, basketball team, nobody control them. I grew up in a society, if that had started, I'll guarantee you, it would have been controlled and controlled quickly. Look at verse 5b. Not only anarchy, but 5b. People shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Here's disrespect for the aged and those in authority. Now, hey, this is up to date as the morning newspaper. When leadership is removed, every one of these things are inevitably, will fall in line when you lose your leadership. Disrespect for those in authority. I can see tell my dad call him old man. I would have aged tremendously if I had. But I'm simply saying, this youthomania that don't trust anybody over 25, this business, we are under the divine judgment of God. We've lost the head of our families. We've lost out in church. We lost in government. We lost everywhere. And God said, I will take your leadership away, and I'll give babes and children to rule over you. And babes and children cannot control crime, anarchy, disrespect for the aged. Look at verse 8.
Here's moral rebellion in the capital, for Jerusalem, for Washington is ruined. Imagine that. Moral rebellion in the capital. Let's go quickly. That clock's moving. Verse 9. Show their countenance as witness against them, and they declare their sin is Sodom. Hey, this is up to date. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, they reward evil unto themselves. Here you have unashamed sinning. They came out of the closet. Why are they coming out of the closet? God's divine judgment on America. All the states had laws against sodomy as a crime against nature. My course in psychiatry back in the 50s labeled this sodomy as mental illness. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's sin. Unashamed sinning. Unashamed sinning. Look at verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Juvenile delinquency. Man, people scared to death of children, the young people. They'll burn you down. They'll tear up your car. And a lot of parents are scared to death of the boy or girl that lives under their household, frightened to death. Juvenile delinquency. My, what a problem. Parental abuse, afraid of the children. My, the wickedness. And by the way, rock music. Rock concert is a public education put to music. Quickly, look at the next phrase. And women rule over them. Here's domineering women. Rule over them, passive men. Look across now, turn the page. God says, verse 16, the daughters of Zion are haughty, walk with stretched forth necks. He's talking about no neck nines and wanton eyes. Walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. What are they doing? They're looking for a man. Saw two ladies on television. They were talking about, you know, celibacy. Said they had been celibate so for so much, you know. They're talking on television about their escapades and about their immorality. And hey, man's vacated his responsibility. I get problems. A man ought to be able to speak for his house. And he ought not to have an axe handle to have to do so. Young people, if you're not married, you better be careful who you marry. If you're a woman, make sure you got a man. Don't get a sissy and don't get a beast. There's a difference. See, and I tell women, I said, now, if your husband's a man now, and you're going to try to lead him around, I got news for you. He's going to do the very opposite, not because he wants to, but just to show you he's not going to do that. I'm not talking about abusing women. Man, a man that'll abuse a woman's a coward. Look at verse 14. The Lord will enter into judgments with the ancients of his people. That's judges. Judges, you're going to stand before the judge of the universe, and God's going to deal with you. God's going to deal with the judges, the criminal rights, espousal of humanism, and rejection of Christianity. Chief Justice Charles Evan Hughes said the Constitution is what the judges say it is. Oh, we're judges. We just stick around. Yes, sir, but the judge of the universe. Over in the fifth chapter, look what God said. Woe unto them which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Well, what about the politicians and the princes thereof? For you've eaten up the vineyard. I don't worry about anything left for the next generation. I got the agreements and everything. I'm going to get all I can get while I'm getting. Concerned about the next election and not about the next generation. God said, greedy politicians, I'll deal with you. And our national debt wouldn't be half as much if everybody could work and wouldn't work. I preach that to my people. Any will not work, neither shall he eat. I'm not going to feed somebody who won't work. I'm not going to give to passerby that won't work. What I do encourage is laziness. Now, quickly, I said that 3 or 4 times. Look at verse 10 and 11, and then I'll hop to the 5th and the 6th and go to dinner. Look at verse 10. A nation under judgment. Well, here's 2 laws. Verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. You live for God. All this goes on, it'll be well with him. Still pays to serve God. Don't be carried away with that. You live right. Live for God. For the reward of his hand shall be given him. Excuse me, but she shall eat of the fruit of his doings. What about the wicked? Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hand shall be given him. God's going to deal with the wicked. God will reward the righteous. Okay, now. Turn to the 5th chapter. Wait just a minute. The voice of God speaks. And a prophet's been thundering, whoa, whoa, whoa. All of a sudden, he sees a holy God reigning. And we need to understand today that God still sits on the throne like he did in Isaiah, the 6th chapter. He has no answers. He's still receiving worship. The seraphims are there. He's still holy. And we need a vision of his holiness in the ministry. Vision of his holiness now, oh God. Oh, it's me. I'm undone. I'm part and parcel of his society. Woe is me. And then God's cleansing. And here comes a voice in the day of judgment, a nation under judgment. Who'll go for us? Whom shall I send? Now Isaiah said, here, my Lord, send me. He said, now how long you do that? He said, you just preach till there's nobody left. Just keep on. Israel was under that divine judgment when Jesus looked over that city. In Jerusalem that day, listen, oh, Jerusalem. Oh, if thou hadst known the things that belong unto thine eyes or thy happiness, but now they're hidden from thee. And that day was a day of divine judgment. Listen to me, hear me. And that nation was under judgment, but man, you're talking about a harvest of souls. Boy, get the passengers off the boat. The ship's going down. Get them off. Get them off. And Israel went into captivity and has been ever since. This dear nation is under divine judgment. And God in his patience is allowing sin to run its course. We have a great need of a holy God. Oh, God, help us to see God. He's not upset. John, the 12th chapter, see him. John on the Isle of Patmos saw the same God, same worship service. He remains unchangeable, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, day, and forever. And we keep on thundering out against sin. But we need some place we catch a new vision of God and his holiness. Till we see our sinfulness, oh God, woe is me. Woe is me. I'm undone. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of the host. And then we can hear God calling and speaking clearly. Here, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. I love my country. I love my country. But hey, our main problem better not be trying to save something under divine judgment. Our main problem better be get the passengers off. The boat's going down. Get the passengers off. Get them off. Get them off. Get them off now. Dear Lord, please help us. In these desperate days, they're days of opportunity. Lord, there are folks who've had sin up to their about to drown, been nauseated by sin. Thank you for that, Lord. Now maybe they'll listen to the gospel and help us. Help us.
Attitude toward sin, help us to hate it. Attitude toward righteousness, a holy God, please help us. Help us. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.